You're listening to the Audacious Church podcast. This message was recorded live at our Chester campus. We know this is a great investment into your life. So tune in, listen up, and stay focused. For any more information, visit us online, audaciouschurch.com.
Picked us up and it was lovely. And as I was in the car with my friend's mum on the way to my other friend's house, she said to me, "Dan, how's Matty?" And I'm thinking, "Matty?" And I'm panicking in the back seat, like wiggling around, squirming. And then I think I just must have misheard her. And I say, "I'm sorry, Steph. Can you repeat that one more time?" And she says, "How is Matty? Matthew?" And I'm like, "Oh no. Have we had a conversation about Matthew? Is he okay? I don't know. I'm not sure." And I say, I'm sorry. Who on earth is Matthew?" And she turns around to me, which is a bit concerning as she was driving, but she turns around, I hold on, and she says to me, "Dan, we're going to Matty's house." You see, what happened is I called my friend by his nickname for 4 years straight. In the moment, I forgot his real name. And I was like, "Matty." Like, I knew it, but I forgot. Signature Series is a reminder of who we are and what we're here to do. And Peter talks about this in the Bible. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 12 to 13. "Therefore, I intend to keep on reminding you of these things. Though you know them already..." I knew his name, guys. Stop judging me. I knew it. It was just caught me off guard. "We know the things already, and that you're already established in the truth. But I think it's right, as long as I'm in this body, in the church, to refresh your memory." Because life is busy, and if we're not careful, we can start to lose perspective of who we are and what we're here to do. So this series has been looking at the key messages, key themes of who we are and things that we have really built over the last 17 years as Audacious Church. And today we are looking at legacy. Everyone say legacy. And what legacy is as a church, we believe that we're here to leave this city in a better place than what we found it. Legacy is knowing that we're not just here for us and for now, but we're here to set up the next. Everyone say legacy. We're here to pass on to the next. Pass it on. And that's the title of today's message. Turn to the person next to you and say, "Pass it on." It's the title of a message that wouldn't have gone down well in 2020, but I feel like we might be okay now. We are people who pass it on. I had an amazing story where someone passed something on to me 5 years ago now. And they didn't just pass anything on. They passed me on a car. And it wasn't just any car, let me tell you, church. It was a sports car. That's right, youth section. Ooh la la, indeed. For my first car, I got given a sports car. It's coming up on screen now. I'm not too sure why there's giggles actually in the room. That was a Ford Focus 1.6 litre Sport. S-P-O-R-T was on the back of that car, I tell you now. I don't have a picture to prove it, but I promise you it was. And just those five letters being on the back of that car gave it an extra 13 horsepower. Just because it was written there. Just the power just came onto it. And I love that car so much. It was just easy to drive. It was blue. I love blue. It never failed me. Just the MOT people. Always got me from A to B, though. Always. Never broke down in it. Over 130,000 miles. Never broke down. Always kept me on the edge of my seat. It used to get a bit broken, so I had to be there. But that's all right. It's all right. But I loved that car. And that car was an absolute blessing to me. And the story of how I got it, I'll come and touch on it now, because I feel like it'd be wrong for me to not to tell it. I remember I was 17 and I was in my bedroom, and then I was praying, and then I knelt on my bed, and when I kneel on my bed, I can look out my window, that lovely Winsford, if any of you know it, all the scenes sort of things, and it was lovely. And I prayed to God, because I was weighing up, what do I do next? What do I do next? And one of the things I was thinking about was doing Bible college, doing Audacious College. I'm going to embarrass her, but she just stood up right now. Anna is on Audacious College walking in the middle. Anna is amazing. We've got Judah there. He's doing Audacious College. This is amazing. Matt as well. There's people everywhere who's doing Audacious College. And it was awesome, but I didn't know that, so I wasn't sure. But Audacious College was in Manchester. I'm in Winsford. Not many of you laughed or smiled when I said about Winsford. You're right, because it's the middle of nowhere. I don't expect any of you to know it. So I needed a car. I needed a car. And I prayed to God, God, if you give me a car, because I had money to buy a car, but the insurance, I didn't have that. God, if you buy me a car, if you give me a car, I will go anywhere for you. I will go and do the things you want me to do. Side note, church, prayers are powerful. Be careful what you pray for. 2 weeks later, coming up on the screen now, I head round to my grandparents' house. What's on the drive? A sports car. But the story is really interesting. A few of you might know my grandparents. They used to come to this church before they passed away a few years ago. But in their small group was a lady who I never met personally, and she had to go back to her home country over in Eastern Europe. Never met her, no relationship with her, but through the relationship with my grandparents, they gave the car to them, who gave the car to me. Passing it on, bringing blessing. And that car created a legacy. That car is so notorious with me and my friends. Because like I said, oh, we got called anywhere and everywhere. Dan, can you go and help with Audacious Sheffield? Yes, of course I can. Dan, we're starting Audacious Cardiff. Yes. We got called to all those places because God honored my prayer. And I was blessed and something powerful became and legacy was created because someone made a decision to pass it on. Turn to the person next to you and say, pass it on. I'm sure a lot of us in this place have probably been blessed by something being passed on to you. Yeah. Maybe it was something at a wedding. Maybe you've been blessed like me and got a car. But I'm sure you've had a moment where something's been passed on to you. The hard part about passing something on is when it's our turn. Yeah. 4 months ago, I had a decision to make. Do I buy a new car? And I was at a crossroads. Not literally, it was a straight road. I was on my drive. I was on a straight road, and I had an option to buy my parents' car off them. And I really wanted to, but I wanted to keep mine. Even if I don't drive it, I just want it on the drive. My sports car. Just there. And I was like, I knew I should pass it on to someone else, but I didn't want to. So I went through this like mourning process. I grieved, I cried, and I thought, you know what? It's only right if I pass it on. It's only right. It got passed on to me, so I'll pass it on to someone else. And I tried to pass it on. I even offered to pay people for it to be passed on. And long story short, I was able to find someone who moved over from South Africa to Manchester. I won't go into the story because I'll just go keep waffling on. But I was able to pass on my car to him. And he now is in Manchester. And instead of his commute time being 3 hours, it's now 15 minutes. Which means he's able to spend more time with his wife and more time helping church in Manchester. Because church, even when it's hard, even when it's difficult, we have a responsibility to pass things on. One of the saddest pieces of scripture I think I've read in the past couple years comes from Isaiah 39 here. The context to this verse is this. So Isaiah is a prophet, and he is speaking to the king of Jerusalem, the king of Israel, called Hezekiah. And he comes to speak to Hezekiah about what's going to happen in the future. Because at the moment, the Israelites are in their land. They've got it. But coming is this prophetic word which Isaiah brings. Isaiah 39 says this. Then Isaiah said to Hezekiah, hear the word of the Lord. Days are coming when all that is in your house, Hezekiah, everything which your ancestors have stored up until this day shall be carried to Babylon. This country will come in, and they will take everything from you. Nothing shall be left. Some of your own sons who are born to you shall be taken away. become eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. I'll carry on the verse in a minute. So Isaiah brings this word to the king and says, you in the future, after you, you will lose everything. Your sons, everything. Your treasure, gone. That's the scene. This is what Hezekiah replies with. The word of the Lord you have spoken is good. For he thought there will be peace and security in my days. Hezekiah responded with a perspective of now. He thought, as long as it's okay for me, I don't really care what happens later down the line with my sons, with my country, because as long as it's okay for me, that's all that matters. But church, I want to encourage you, we are not called to be people who live and only think about ourselves. We are called to respond in a different way and to be people of legacy. We're not called to be people who keep things to ourselves, not thinking about who's coming next, but we're called to be people of legacy. Yeah. Every single one of you has been given a baton by God to pass on to the next and to create a legacy that gives him glory. Yeah. Psalm 78 says this, my people hear my teaching, listen to the words of my mouth. I will open with my mouth with a parable. I will utter hidden things of old, things we have heard and known, things our ancestors have told us. Verse 4, we will not hide them from their descendants. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power and the wonders he has done. He decreed for Jacob and established the law in Israel, which he commanded our ancestors to teach the next, so that every child, even yet to be born. When we have a perspective of passing it on, our perspective goes above what we can even see or imagine, passing on what is yet to be born, so that they would then tell their children. Then they would put their trust in God and would not forget his deeds and would keep his commands. Church, we're called to be a people of legacy. People that don't squash the next generation under our feet, but get them to stand on our shoulders above us. Church, we are not just going to be here for a few years. We're going to be a church we're here for 50 years. Going on. Because we've got a vision and a perspective that we pass on. Creating a legacy that keeps pointing to the King of Kings and what he is doing. Church, that building is awesome, but it's not just for us. That building is a beacon for the city, and that when our children walk in there, they will stand on our shoulders, being able to do the immeasurably more that we could think in this moment. If we make a decision to pass it on, God will continue to move. We will continue to break through, and it will be a move of God in this city that we might not see here, but when we're up there, with the great cloud of witnesses, I'm going to look down and say, keep going strong, keep passing it on, because he is not finished yet. Church, it is time to pass it on. Everyone say, pass it on. Pass it on. Turn to the person next to you and say, pass it on. Church, this is just the start. This is just the start. Give me a wave if you were here when we started in the Crown Plaza. Few of us. Hey, it's amazing that you've been with us on this journey. Hey, and when we're over in that building over there and we shout in 10 years' time, give us a wave. If you were here in this building, you all get to make that decision and say, yeah, we were here. Because you're part of the journey of passing it on. But we have to make a decision. Like me with my car, keep it or pass it on. And I want to encourage you, because it can be hard to pass things on. I think it's sometimes when we get something, we so often just want to keep it to ourselves. And it's okay, but we need to overcome that. And I want to encourage you that we should pass it on, because legacy is powerful. Legacy is powerful. And to kind of articulate a bit more than what I can in the grand scheme of things, a bit of limited years of life, what I'm going to do is I'm going to invite my dad up to share in just a moment, hopefully known to you as Mark, not my dad. That would be a bit odd. Oh, cool, I don't know, he might appreciate it. I don't know. But what he's going to do is he's going to talk a little bit on the power of legacy, showing what happens when we pass it on. So I wonder if you can just put your hands together for my dad. Hey.
Thank you, church. Thank you. Yes, my name is Daniel's dad, otherwise known as Mark. I'm not sure who thought this was a great idea, to be perfectly honest. But I'm just going to talk briefly about legacy through family. So if we just bring up the picture, Hayley, of my parents who served in this house. This is not just a house for young people. My mum and dad loved this house. And my dad, quick story about my dad. So he grew up in quite a challenging environment. So he grew up as an only child, and it was the sort of environment where there wasn't a real outward expression of love or encouragement. And then he was sent to a school for ungifted kids, basically. It was the sort of school that the system had given up on. And it was the sort of school where they felt these kids are just not worth investing in. Really, he was an undiagnosed dyslexic, so he used to write in block capitals, he couldn't do numbers. So he left school at 14 with no qualifications. He had no profession, so he did manual work, worked in factories, and he had very, very limited opportunities. But he met with God, and that then changed everything. And so what we saw from what he learnt and passed on to us is that it doesn't matter what little you think you have. If you bring that to God, God will bless it. When God blesses something and then you pass it on, God will multiply it. And when you get multiplication, you get legacy. And that's what we learned through my parents. So my parents pretty much lived to this verse here, which is coming up from John 15, verse 5. It says, I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So it doesn't matter what you think you have or you haven't got. Bring it to God. He will bless it, multiply it when you pass it on, and legacy will be created. And they lived a life, my parents, that defies human explanation. In every area of their life, they saw multiplication. They saw multiplication in their family. They saw multiplication in their knowledge, their ministry, their finances, their well-being, their health. My dad should have died at 51. And he saw God's blessing, and we saw that, and it was an incredible thing to see. So when we bring what we have before God, ask him to bless it, and then act on it, it's like dropping a pebble in a pool of water. The ripples go out, and we might not see where those ripples go and who they might touch and what might happen at the end of it. And this is best illustrated by an unsung hero of faith, a guy called Albert McMakin. And if you Google that name, you will find virtually nothing about him at all. But Albert McMakin was a 1930s farmhand in America, lived in the 1930s farmhand in America. And he went to one of these big outreaches, he got saved. And of course, he wanted to tell all of his friends about the love of Jesus that he had just encountered. He got all of his friends to go, apart from one. This guy was too busy trying to be a professional baseball player, too busy out with the girls. And then it came to him, I know how I'll get him there. I'll invite him to drive my truck to the meeting, because this guy wanted to drive. So he manages to get this guy to drive the rest of them to this meeting. And in that meeting, this guy gets saved. The guy who got saved was Billy Graham. But it didn't start with Billy Graham. It started with Albert McMakin, that you won't find anything on a Google search. In fact, when you put his name in, you come up with Billy Graham. So when you sow what God has given you, you will find multiplication and legacy.
Amen. Church, there is power in your passing it on. There are Albert McMakins in this room that by what you pass on will impact millions if you pass it on. And I want to encourage you, and I've been saying this a little bit at the start, but you truly do have something. You do have something that you can pass on. And I want to split this into just two parts of what I think that we all have that you can pass on. And the first is your resource. Everyone say resource. And I just want to split this into two parts of resource. I want to talk about finance, your financial resource, and also I want to talk about knowledge. Finance and knowledge. Knowledge being what you know, your wisdom, your skill, which you can pass on to the next. Telling a story quickly now about my granddad, so my mum's dad. I was speaking to my grandma yesterday on the phone just to make sure I got all my facts straight, because it's a really cool story. And my granddad, so he was born and raised in Plymouth. And he, come on, the Plymouthians. It was a shame yesterday, though. Hey, beat Liverpool, though. We beat Liverpool, though. And so my granddad was born in Plymouth, and then he moved over to the suburbs of London in 1968. And he worked with young people who had drug addictions. He worked with those people. And as part of the college that he was a part of, they had links to ministries across the world. And in 1968, when my granddad was 23 years old, he got a call saying, wait, did he get a call? He got told, I was just trying to think about when phones came into the picture. He got told that there was an opportunity for him to go to the Bahamas. And I can see him now like, no, Lord. Oh, Lord, the sacrifice, the burden, the Bahamas. But not my will, Lord. But yours be done. And my granddad, because a minister in the Bahamas got sick, my granddad went out to the Bahamas. And my granddad's my hero for two reasons. Not just because he went out to the Bahamas and did amazing work, but he went to the Bahamas and came back with a Bahamian wife. I think that's really cool. But the second reason is that my granddad, when he invested in all that he did in the work in the Bahamas, he came back, was a faithful man of God, and he invested in resources that he was able to pass on to the next. The first time I preached at church, my mum, in the morning of, gave me this here. This is the Collins Gem Dictionary of the Bible. This is what my granddad bought to invest in himself, to equip and upskill him in his walk with God and his communication of the word. Through the financial purchase of this, it got passed on to me, and I'm able to continue what he started over 50 years ago. Your finance, your resource, can result in a continuation of all that God is doing. Passing on your resource results in continuation. Exodus 38 says this, verse 24. This is when the Israelites are building the Ark of the Covenant, something that they're building that will host God's presence while they're in the desert. And this is what it says here. The total amount of gold from the wave offering, side note, that's my favorite type of Old Testament offering. You've got your fragrance offering, the burnt incense, smells nice, fragrance offering, and you've got your wave offering, you kill the animal, they wave it, wave offering. It's my favorite. Anyways. And this is how much gold they brought. 29 talents and 730 shekels. With the help of this book, I'm able to tell you that the Israelites brought over 1 ton of gold. They brought over a ton of their financial resource to invest in something that would continue what God is doing while they were in the wilderness. Church, when you pass on with your finances, what you do is you help continue what God's doing within you. What it does is we start to do exploits like the building and start to build ceilings that the next generation stand on so God's work can be continued. Pass on your finance. Second thing is this. Pass on your wisdom. Talking quickly about Moses again. In Deuteronomy 31, it says this, verses 7. Then Moses summoned Joshua and said to him in the presence of all of Israel, be strong and courageous. Joshua, be strong and courageous. What Moses did is he invested his time, his skill, and his wisdom, his knowledge of Joshua, if you are going to lead, I need you to be strong and courageous, which meant that when Moses died, it didn't stop there, but Joshua was able to continue what God was doing. Joshua was able to walk through the Jordan like Moses did in the Red Sea, because passing on wisdom allowed for a continuation, meaning that it didn't stop when Moses died, but it could carry on. Incredible examples of this in church are Gabe and Kylie. Gabe and Kylie are phenomenal, and they're part of our creative department. 2 years ago, they built up and upskilled a youth band here in church. Most of that youth band last year went off to university so they could continue and influence where they're called to. Last year, or the start of this year, Gabe and Kylie made a decision not to stop and keep their skill to themselves, but to invest and bring it back into church. And last week, up in kids, for the second time, we started a youth band up in the kids' church. And we had Isaac in year six shadowing on sound, we had Ezra on cajon playing, and we had three new people on the band. Because Gabe and Kylie made a decision that even though those people have gone, I'm going to continue to invest my skill, my wisdom into the next, so that it wouldn't stop when they go, but it would continue. Pass on your resource. We don't want to stop here, church. We want to keep going. Last thing is this. Pass on your story. Pass on your story. Psalm 78, we read it before, verse 4 says this. We will not hide them from their descendants. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power and the wonders he has done. Church, I encourage you, tell of the praiseworthy deeds that the Lord has done. Passing on resource creates continuation. Passing on your story leads to inspiration. And what inspiration leads to is multiplication. At Youth on Friday, Josh preached an amazing message, Pastor Josh, on healing. And at the end of his message, he invited Jessidy, one of our youth team members, up to share and tell his story about the healings he'd seen in his family. And what happened was, as Jessidy shared his story, what happened within the young people is they realized that, oh, Jesus heals, causing inspiration within them. And what meant that happened was that there, you best believe there was healing on Friday. We had a boy come who couldn't move his arm all the way around. After Jessidy shared and Josh preached, he could move his arm fully, and he's never been able to do that before. Because church, passing on your story results in inspiration. And what happens is there's multiplication. Because what people start to see and start to understand is that's normal. They see the goodness of God in the land of the living and expect nothing less. Because if they can do it for you, they start to believe that, oh, maybe God can do it for me. So church, I know there are stories in this place. I want to encourage you, share your story at work. Share your story within your family and just keep saying it. Keep speaking it out. Because I know that if you've been healed in this place, I want you to tell of what God has done. Start the inspiration within this city. If you're free in this place, tell someone. Tell them what God has done. Tell them, young people, if you've got something that God's done on the inside, tell them. Because I want to declare that when you leave school, there will be a legacy that goes beyond you, knowing when that name was uttered, that your name carried the authority of the other name, and that when you were in school, there was peace, there was healing, transformation, because you told your story. Church, pass on your story. Let's not keep it to ourselves. Let's be people who share again and again and again, making the glory of God the new normal in our city. When you tell it again and again and again, it starts inspiration. It multiplies. People say, this is normal. I can have healing. That I can have breakthrough. And legacy is created. Pass on your resource. Pass on your story. Because we have got a baton to pass on to the next.
Thank you for listening to this Audacious podcast. For any more information, visit us online, audaciouschurch.com. We'd love for you to join us at one of our campuses, Manchester, Chester, or online every Sunday, 10 a.m. and 12 p.m.